it's called a smut. Give me smut and nothing but a dirty novel I can shut if it's uncut or unsut.
Woo!
Till.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi, everyone.
Yay! Yay!
Welcome.
Fence Reading Phil.
Fence Reading Phil.
Go.
Welcome to Fence Reading Phil. I'm Emily.
And I'm Jess.
And this is
Fence Reading Phil.
Romanticy.
Yeah. This is the Romanticy edition. This is for people who are listening at home. This is being recorded during the Romanticy Festival hosted by Otherworld in Chicago, Illinois. And it's been really fucking fantastic so far.
It has, I would say.
So
yes.
How many of you guys have been here for anything else this weekend? Has it been good?
Yeah!
Get ready for also another good thing as well.
Another thing tonight.
And we don't have one of our normal guests. We have one of our incredible, amazing authors this weekend here with us.
One of your abnormal guests.
One of our abnormal guests. Please welcome Samara Brieger.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
We're so excited to have you here.
Of course.
Looking fabulous.
Thank you.
I'm nervous to say your name. I looked at you and I'm going to say it wrong. No, I haven't.
You got it perfectly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, thanks for being here. Have you had a good time so far?
I have had an excellent time.
Amazing.
I've met so many fun readers. Yes. I've met other writers who were amazing and inspiring. And I saw Twihard 1.5 times.
You've seen it more than once.
So yeah, yeah, yes.
That's an incredible show. We saw that. We had another live show a month ago, literally, about Twihard. And we saw that during the press tour. It was fantastic.
We did a live show about 50 Shades of Grey for that one. It was a journey.
It was.
I hadn't read it before. I will never read it again. It's fine.
But I will watch that movie over and over.
Oh, absolutely.
Until
I don't know. The movie's fine.
The movie is fantastic. It's so good. Oh my gosh, thanks for being here. So can you tell us about the book that you are currently talking about to the masses?
I'm talking about my book, A Long Time Dead. It's a sapphic vampire gothic about two women in the Victorian era who are fighting to be together, but the world wants to keep them apart.
Fucking rude.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But it's glamorous and it's decadent and there are orgies and pirates and it
had me at orgy.
Yeah.
So this is a true story, I assume.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Based on your life?
Yeah, it's pulled right from life.
Right.
Vampires, epic, gothic romance.
I mean, Victorian vampires is just checking all of my boxes.
Great.
It's bringing me back to the Penny Dreadful.
Oh, days. Yeah, yeah, so yeah.
I've seen that amazing show.
I saw the first season and then I stopped because I got upset.
Why?
What did they
do to you?
No, like she, I just like wasn't, I love Ava Green so much. Uh-huh. And if you don't know who that is, she played Vespa in the Casino Royale movie in like the first Daniel Craig 007.
She was also in Penny Dreadful.
Yeah, well, yes, but for people who haven't seen Penny Dreadful. Anyways, she is Penny. And, but like, I think doesn't she go crazy or something? She gets like all yucky in the second
season.
She's
very goth and she has a lot of feelings.
I just want her to have,
support her.
I want her to have less feelings and I want her to be more like, hey, see, like,
I want to shift it to the 30s.
It is the wrong time period.
If all the Victorian era people were like, hey, see?
I would have been all four seasons. Bing, bang, boom, boom. Okay, so Victorian, sapphic, gothic.
Was there anything in particular that inspired you to write in that world?
I love gothics. I'm always really inspired by Frankenstein. That's like a big one for me. The book that really got me going for this one is called The Monk.
Oh.
And it's about a monk.
Oh, spoiler!
Surprising.
And it's one of those books that just like has everything. It has like demons and
Jack.
Ghosts and Jack. Walking corpses.
Right.
And I was like, this book is so much fun. Like, why can't I write a fun book with everything I want in it, just stuffed in it?
Yeah. I've been on a big demon kick lately. So even just saying, I think anything with like an extra supernatural.
Supernatural.
There it is.
Yeah.
Also extraterrestrial, I guess. Ice Planet Barbarians. But like supernatural, like angry, evil thing that someone falls in love with. I'm like, yeah, I could.
But they're not
that.
Evil to
but
you.
But they're not evil to them.
So. You see the soft side.
Yes. So the good vampire within.
The good demon within. The good ghost that's, within.
And then they always end up fucking in a graveyard or an asylum.
Well,
or,
Emily was telling me before this that she is currently reading a book where they open on them fucking in a graveyard.
Oh. No, this one was an abandoned asylum.
Oh, an abandoned, I'm so sorry. An the abandoned
before,
asylum.
The one before was a graveyard.
They were fucking in a graveyard.
I can't help it. I love a good graveyard sex scene. I have issues. So, okay, that's great. Love that.
Love that for me.
Love that for you. Check. But okay, how many books have you written so far? Like
I have written 2.5 and I have published 2.
Okay. Love that. Yeah. And is your first book at all any like a vampire?
My first book is a cozy fantasy rom-com road trip.
Love that. Oh
my gosh. It's called Walk Between Worlds and it's a little lesbian rom-com.
That's so sweet.
And it's a mess. I mean, like it's fine.
It's a mess. It's a mess.
No, I think it's good. I think A Long Time Dead is better. So if you're getting into my back catalog, just, you know.
I wanted people to know what else they could find from you, though.
Yeah, exactly.
But so we heard that The Monk kind of inspired you for this book. But like when you were growing up, when you were reading things back yonder, what was something that was always like you would pick up the book and you would be like, that's what I want to read. Like it has this one trope. It has this one element that is always in my back pocket.
I loved A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was sad.
So sad orphans is like your thing?
Sad orphans, but also it's so funny that it's so sad.
I love to laugh at those orphans.
Oh, you don't tragic. Have parents.
It's at that point where, like, God, it's so ridiculously sad that you just have to laugh. Mm-hmm. And I love those sad orphans.
And also very gothic.
Very
sad
gothic.
Orphans are very gothic.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Baudelaire siblings, not triplets.
Yes.
Baudelaire?
Baudelaire. The Baudelaires.
Yeah. Baudelaire. Thank you. Good job.
Yep.
You got there.
Cool. Okay, so you love
and,
the orphans.
And on the other side, was there anything that, or even now, not even just growing up, where you're like, that is not for me. That is a trope that I don't want to read right now.
Or that you're just sick of.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't. I've locked myself out of a lot of books because, like, books about straight people. Like, romances... Modern rom-coms about straight people are huge, and I don't read them. Uh-oh. Like, I feel like I should. Like, I really should push through for a few of them, but I haven't gotten there yet.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I think you tend to go for the more, like, under the indie stuff. The more
yes.
Cover stuff.
I love an indie. I love a small pub. Mm-hmm. Romance that really is my jam.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I think we chatted for a little bit a couple weeks ago because we were like, hey, we should meet before we're on stage together. And you did request a sapphic vampire story for tonight. So
that is
what we will be doing.
Yay.
Sapphic
vampires.
Sapphic vampires.
This will be we've done 4 live shows. This will be the third one with a vampire story, I think. Vampires just keep coming up for the live shows. Yeah, because my first one was a Twilight, Rosalie, Bella fanfic.
Yeah.
And then we did... Oh, no, you're right.
Because we did 50 Shades, right? Yeah.
But it was 4 Twilight.
Vampires were in the air. They just weren't in
There were vampires in the air, but we weren't actually talking about them. Yeah, never mind. We can cut that.
So we've had a couple vampires. Yeah. And so we did some research for sapphic vampire stories and lore and culture and...
Yeah.
Stuff.
Oh, it's a whole thing.
Yeah. It turns out that sapphic vampires has been a thing for a very long time. It is very gothic.
Yeah.
And it's been used throughout history as a way to be like, ladies, you shouldn't bang each other. Look what could happen.
These lesbian predators are coming into your bedroom and taking your beautiful Christian women.
And they're going to suck their blood and take them away.
That's right.
Yes. Blood would be everywhere no matter what, vampire or not.
Exactly.
Girls get their periods.
Wow.
Jesus. So, Christ. Seven vampire research.
Well, because I looked it up, and Countess Elizabeth Bathory,
yes,
is like a lot of the inspiration for just the vampire myth that we know in general, who was a countess, obviously, who murdered a lot of women, like hundreds and hundreds of them. Mm-hmm. And that is like largely credited with part of that trope where we have the brides and we have the corruption of the innocent woman by women, which is even more deviant, I guess, especially when
they're the aggressor. How would a woman ever know?
I know.
Yeah.
That poor, poor woman being led astray. Oh, horrible.
That gave me, I actually saw that, like, because it's a real story. She's a real life serial killer from like the 1700s or something. And it's on, you know, the podcast Lore. Y'all know that podcast. They have a like Amazon show where they've picked like a couple stories and they just acted out. And that's one of them. And it legit gave me nightmares. And like, I knew the story and I was like, sweet, love a good serial killer. Love a good like crazy. And I was like, this is really scary.
I didn't write it down, but wasn't she the one that like took baths in blood because she thought it would keep her young?
She would like get she'd like be like, I need your young, I need to have them to make them grow up.
And it was mostly like young servant girls that she would kill and you know use their blood for.
There's like a really disturbing scene where she's like at her like, you know, dresser, she's like putting the blood on her and she's like, oh God. And I'm like, this is so, I know it's fake, but I'm like, it like there's like a bubble in the blood, you know what I mean? There's like, I'm like, oh, this is so disgusting to watch. And I'm not I learned from that day on, I don't like blood play, you know.
Oh, that's what taught you that?
We all have to learn somehow.
Oh, okay.
And that's how I learned.
And then Carmilla as well, which is something that I feel like a bad literary person. I had not heard of Carmilla.
What?
I know. I know. Do you want to tell the people? You seem to know.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell the people about Carmilla?
Do you remember? Did you write down what year it was? 1879,
1789? 17 something or other. I didn't write
it down. Carmilla is a novella written by a man named Sheridan Le Fanu. Mm-hmm. And it is about this woman named Carmilla and this very innocent woman named Laura, and Carmilla comes in and God, she's her best friend, and slowly she ingratiates herself into Laura's life, and it has a lot of veiled sexual things going on, and eventually they find out that Carmilla is the Countess Mercalla, and she's this, you know, undead woman who bathes in a coffin full of blood, and they have to tear her apart. And it obviously broke my heart that they ripped her into pieces because she's so fun.
She's so tale cool. As old as time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And like they've taken that story, I think, and it's become many, many movies.
Oh,
many, many adaptations.
You know, there's a sneak sapphic vampire before Carmilla.
Ooh, tell me.
There's a Samuel Taylor Coleridge poem called Christabel, and he meant to write a bunch of parts, and he only wrote two parts, and it's, you know, they find this woman in the woods, and they're like, oh my God, who are you? And she's like, I'm Christabel.
Speak up. Let women speak, girl. Christabel.
And she's like, oh my God, these guys are like chasing after me. Can I come to your house? And she like gets into the house. Wait, maybe she's not Christabel. Maybe the innocent girl is Christabel. I could be wrong.
Christabel's a pretty innocent name.
But they get her into the house, and like the next morning she's like already, you know, getting close to the father of the innocent girl, and she's like, oh my God. And then he never finished it, but it's
I feel like it's going to be like Orphan.
Typical
like
that
movie where they get the 40-year-old orphan and then she ingratiates herself. I know about Carmilla because I had a weird film teacher in college who was like...
Obsessed.
Who was like, we're going to make a film. We're going to make the best Carmilla film ever. And there's been like a bunch of adaptations.
Yes.
And I remember like in the 4 years that he was one of my professors, he had made a trailer. And like that was it, but it was like a really beautiful trailer, and it was like a girl on a like a pond, like a stream, and like just blood dripping from her. But that was the whole trailer, and I was like, oh, this is gonna take a long time. And it is now like years and years later, and I just saw they're like, we're finally ready to like unveil it to the world. And I was like, wow, that took a long time.
A while.
He had to get Carmilla correct,
but he never gave up. Sure.
Never surrendered, never give up.
And that's what we can learn from Carmilla.
Yeah.
Hey, let's hear it for Carmilla, everybody.
Carmilla.
Yeah. In case she's here tonight, we're all on her side.
We are. We really are. We think she's fabulous. Do we want to get into
Yeah.
The story.
The fanfic of it all.
The fanfic of it all.
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay.
So we did one story. We usually do two. But we figured we want to talk about you. We want to talk about your book. And we also wanted to talk about smut. So we had to pare it down.
Yeah.
So this time we did one fan fiction.
We did. And the fic is called This Is My Body, This Is My Blood by LWTV, which we love a Florence and the Machine song title as a fanfic title. We really, really do. And it is... it is part one of two of a completed series. It is 8 chapters long and was completed in October of 2022. And it is a Killing Eve fanfic. Has anyone seen Killing Eve in this audience? Or are we...
Ooh, some of it.
Some of it? Yes.
We got some over here.
Some okay. over here. I have otherwise... Okay, I'm just... We need to summarize Killing Eve. Got it. Cool.
Have you seen Killing Eve?
I know about it because I'm gay.
Got it.
Yep. That feels right.
And that's what inspired us to dress like this. We are dressed in honor of one of the characters, Villanelle, which
yes.
we will tell you all
who's
about.
Who's very fabulous and a fashion icon. Mm-hmm. And like truly there were articles written about her
legit.
Fashion
yeah.
when the first two seasons came out. But don't worry, you guys. You don't need to know anything. We're going to explain. So yeah, Killing Eve is 4 seasons long. Most people who have seen the show really only acknowledge the first two seasons because the last two seasons were insane and not great.
Did the writer leave?
So it's actually very cool because they each season had a different female head writer and showrunner. So Phoebe Waller-Bridge was season one.
Yeah, I knew that one.
Emerald Fennell, who did Saltburn, was season two.
No wonder those are two best seasons right there.
And then season 3 and season 4 are two women who don't even have a Wikipedia page and as far as I can tell have done nothing before or since. And it just kind of got weird.
They tried their hardest.
Yeah. Oh, no. They did their very best. It was, I wrote them down. I didn't.
No, we didn't care about them. Sorry, guys.
Like I said, but that means also that there is a lot of fan fiction written about this story because, as often happens, the fans were like, we need to write around seasons 3 and 4. So that's what a lot of the fics do. And so just to like summarize, spoiler alert, you guys, but like you're here and we're going to have to know this a little bit. So we've got two main characters. We've got Eve, who's played by Sandra Oh, mm-hmm. who many people know from like Grey's Anatomy. Yeah. And Villanelle, who is played by Jodie Comer. And she's wonderful, beautiful. We love her.
She was new. Like, is this her first thing she did?
She was one of those like... BBC regulars yeah. who, as far as I know, hadn't done a ton of stuff that like was super mainstream, but you mm-hmm. saw her on BBC.
She had a face.
She had a face. She definitely had a face.
Yeah, she had one of those faces.
Yeah. Okay. And so Eve is in MI6, MI5. She's an agent. She's an agent. And she basically becomes obsessed with this killer, this person who keeps killing people in these very interesting ways. And oh, could it be a woman? And she starts tracking down and essentially kind of cat and mouse gaming with Villanelle, who ends up being this Russian assassin mm-hmm. who works for this shadowy organization that basically just kills people. And she kills people in very interesting ways. And these two women become obsessed with each other over the course of the show. And the show has a lot of, you know, homoeroticism, will they, won't they? And a big reason that a lot of people don't acknowledge the last season is they fall into the very unfortunate trope that often happens with gay people, where they finally get together and then someone immediately dies. Yeah, so we don't love that.
Tales old as time.
Tales, unfortunately, yeah. that is a thing that tends yeah. to happen in media.
It really broke my community.
Yeah.
People were like putting flowers outside billboards and like making memorials.
Killing Eve billboards?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yeah. It was a big, wow. This show was a really big deal because it really is the first show that I can think of that really was not afraid to dig into the eroticism and the connection between these two women in a more explicit way. And so it was a big deal for the community. And then it was a big deal when they fucked it all up. But good news for this story here, we are doing an AU, an alternate universe fanfic, in which our characters live in a world where vampires exist. So that's what we're going to be covering tonight. But yeah, just to get into Villeneuve as a ship, as a pairing.
Oh, that's a good name. Villeneuve? I'm just looking at our notes now.
Oh, yeah. Villeneuve is great. They are both professional childless, middle-aged women. They're both hardworking, ambitious, obsessive people that find each other. There's this like cat and mouse dynamic between the two of them. And they are centered in the show. They are the heart and soul of the show. The showrunners have talked about, Phoebe Waller-Bridge said, every moment in this show exists so these two women can end up alone in a room together. So that's that's what we're dealing with here.
Love and Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge is great.
Great. Hey, let's hear it for Phoebe Waller-Bridge, everybody. I'm going to get them to clap two more times for
Please do. Please do. And so other than that, I think I always like to shout out, because I love me some fan fiction, and I love me some fan fiction tags, because mm-hmm. authors can do whatever the fuck they want. And so some fun tags on this fic was very Hannibal Clarice. Yep. Slow burn, but then hot all of a sudden. And then newsflash, Eve has thick thighs, and it's thick with two C's. So that's what we're...
You know it's good.
Oh, yeah. It's good. She's got thick thighs.
You know, thick thighs make a dick rise. So.
They do. They save lives.
They also save lives. Yeah.
And then some content warning for blood. Duh. It's a vampire story.
That. We're upset.
Yes. Medical experimentation on vampires for science reasons.
such a specific trigger warning.
It's, you know,
I don't care if it's on humans, but on vampires, I'm out. And then for science reasons, definitely.
For science reasons. Not just for fun. For science.
For science reasons.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then just like the canon typical, you know, we're dealing with assassins. They do tend to murder people. We're also going to be dealing with vampires, and they also tend to murder people. So just, you know, that's what we're up to. And then some non-con as part of the experimentation. And so non-con means non-consent, mm-hmm. Which we will give another warning when we get to that part of the summary.
We'll try and gloss over that because fuck
Do
that.
Do you have any questions before we get into telling you the story? Any questions or comments?
Am I going to have a good time?
I think so.
Yay!
I had a good time reading this, and I'm not usually the fan fiction person, and I don't usually go for a lot of sapphic stories either. So I was like, this was a really fun. I had a good time reading.
This is a different fic for you.
Yeah,
yeah.
I also didn't finish Killing Eve because I thought it started sucking. So,
so Wait, I'm how glad. Far did you get?
I got, I think, halfway through season two.
Yeah.
But also, it was like on a channel I didn't own. So
so you were pirating it and then it started sucking and then you... Yeah.
Okay, so ready? Eve is an MI6H. She's an MI6 hunter.
Sure.
And she jumps in a hole in Paris.
Into
some catacombs, even though she was ordered not to by her whole squad. They're like, we gotta wait. And she's like, dawn is approaching.
We've got to apprehend.
Oh, yes. So she's not a vampire. She's a vampire hunter.
She's a vampire hunter.
She's an H.
I see. H. Yeah, Eve is an H. And it's about to be dawn. The vampire they're hunting is trapped in these catacombs. She drops down. She's like, okay, well, I'm going to just do this. This was really dumb, but like, I'm excited. I'm nervous. Oh my gosh. And there she finds a very pale, very tall and statuesque, beautiful Oksana Astankova.
Good job.
Thank you. AKA Villanelle.
Villanelle. We're going to be calling her Villanelle because also, we can't do Oksana.
Bookmark. Why is Villanelle her name?
I don't know, but the series is based loosely on a series of books called Agent Villanelle.
So Villanelle.
Villanelle.
Or Vill, when I get too tired to say Villanelle.
Sure.
Yeah, these notes get really lazy about two pages in, we start just saying V.
And then, okay, so with a stake that's made from wood from a tree that vampires are allergic to, Eve tries to stab her in this catacomb and is swiftly disarmed and pushed against the wall, up against the wall by Vill. Eve smells Villanelle. There's citrus and pine and blood. And Villanelle's like, oh, you're strong. And Eve like
Eve's like squirming right. against the wall as we do, and Villanelle is like staring. They're staring each other in the eyes, and it's very poetic. And Eve has an internal monologue thinking about how beautiful Villanelle's eyes are, even though she's trying to murder her.
This is bad hunting.
It's bad hunting, but they can't resist each other.
Out her squad while it's still dark in a catacomb. But Villanelle bends down to smell Eve's neck and her hair, and her eyes look all dreamy. And Eve is like, and they're both kind of like, well, they both smell. A lot of smelling in this. Also,
they both smell each other.
Smelling, if you guys don't like that.
Also, how do we feel about citrus, pine, and blood as a scent? Everyone just take a second to try to figure out what that would
smell. I want to know what the top, middle, and root notes are.
Yeah, I don't know.
It reminds, what's pine sol? I'm thinking pine sol and blood. So like a bad cleaning gone wrong. Like, it's just, she smells like pine sol and it's so goddamn sexy.
Eve is into it. Eve is so into the pine sol.
And she's sniffing.
Eve is like, stop, please stop smelling me. And she does. And she asks Eve if she's going to run. Eve's like, no, because you're not like other vampires. And then there's like a moment, and then it's like, and everyone jumps down. It's clearly like dawn has arisen, and there's no way for her to get out, and she is tased.
The other hunters descend.
Yes.
Oh no.
And take our girl Villanelle away.
Yeah. And Eve's a little shaken, and the last thing Villanelle remembers is being like, she smelled good, and like is down.
And then she passes out.
Yes.
Aww.
And this is, it's okay. It's okay. Things
are okay.
we'll get to it. It'll work itself out. It'll work itself out. I promise.
And this is a dual POV, so we hear from both of them. So we hear that Villanelle, she wakes up and she's in a research center in London. And this is where they have brought vampires that they have captured to start doing science research.
Sure.
On them.
As opposed to the non-science research that's happening at a different center.
The humanities research.
Yes. Where all the English majors go.
All the majors went. We kind of hear about her monotonous life. Sometimes she's let out into this kind of area where she can hunt, but otherwise she's given blood bags.
And the entire time she's like being observed. Like they're letting her out to hunt and they're watching what she's doing and they're and they're like changing the environment a little bit to see what she does.
They're like tossing a squirrel.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, they have convicts, like murderers that they're like, go ahead. And she's like, okay, they're bad people, whatever.
So it's like a work study.
It's a work study. And she tries to get revenge whenever she can on the guards or like the scientists or whatever. So like, you know, once in a while, someone will be a little lax with the security. They'll turn their back at the wrong time. And she immediately is like, gonna kill him. And she does.
Because that's something in the show, too, where Villanelle's character, even though she's an assassin, is very playful and kind of silly and doesn't, even though she's absolutely deadly, doesn't take herself too seriously. Yeah. So there is a lot of kind of fucking around with people.
Listen,
throughout.
If you love what you do, you don't work a day in your life.
And she does love what she does.
And it does make it scary in the show because she's so like, I'm having fun. And she'll slit someone's throat. Like, it's like she's a true sociopath.
She's so hot. She's
I mean, I shouldn't. I'm not judging.
That was my thought, too.
Right.
I'm not judging because I say the weirdest shit on this podcast, too, about like murderers.
I just
speak
the truth. I don't know what you're talking about.
She's a good looking vamp. She's there for 6 months and she is constantly thinking about Eve.
Yeah.
She thinks back to how they first met and she reminisces on Dasha, her Russian vampire friend, who was her partner in hunting. They were in like Italy or something. And she and Dasha clued Villanelle in to be like, you've got, I was about to do an accent. I apologize.
Don't do it.
It's like, you've got this person on your tail.
Yeah. Like Villanelle. This agent seems to be hunting us down and like focusing on just your kills. Just so you know, it's this woman named Eve. Isn't she pretty? Doesn't she smell good?
Yeah. And they show her, Dasha shows her a picture and Villanelle's immediately like, yes, like that's a hot gal. I'ma take her out.
And I can tell she's stinky in a way I like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stinky. And they run around Europe, Villanelle starts leaving postcards for Eve because she knows she's on her tail.
At like the scene of the crime.
Yeah. And Eve, and she has like a P.O. box in like Paris or something. And so Eve will send one back being like, I almost got you, you bitch. Like, I'm gonna get you. And they have like a great time doing it. And then she finally gets cornered in Paris and she gets captured. But now she realizes after 6 months, she learns Eve is going to come visit her to put together a profile for MI6.
Very Silence of the Lambs style. Sure. She's here to interview her and learn more, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm.
And she gets really happy. She's really excited.
Yeah.
So it's a Wednesday. Eve comes in and she's like, hello. And Eve's like, and she sits down, but she's also like, she looks good. Like, she looks pretty.
She looks good. She looks tired because she's been like in a medical facility for 6 months. But mm-hmm. She's cute. It's fine.
Yeah. And she starts asking her questions. I'm sorry. Eve starts asking Villanelle questions. And she's like, don't you hate this jumpsuit they have me in? And she's like, I guess. And she's like, I will answer your question if you bring me clothing. And she's like, well, okay. And she kind of like starts flirting more and more. And Eve gets hot and bothered. But she's like, okay, I'll be back every week until the profile is done. I will see what I can do for clothes. And she's like, yeah, she's going to look really good in these clothes. Like, and that's like her last thought. And we're like, okay, Eve. I kind of hated Eve a little bit in this.
Really? Because she's an enabler?
She is an enabler. She just doesn't think about anyone else, though.
She's just, you know, sugar mama-ing.
I mean, yes, but she's like, I really shouldn't be doing this. And then she's like,
oh, no, she's bad at her job.
She's so bad at her job. She's so bad. I hate
terrible at anything.
Yeah, at least be professional.
She needs to go and get a performance review.
Legit.
But that is like part of the character from, not to be the person that keeps saying things like this, but that is part of her character from the show where she's just bored. She's just bored and sick of her husband and sick of her job. And
she has a husband?
Oh, yeah.
That's why I'm like, you're being mean.
Oh, God.
Is a husband named Nikki.
I bet Nikki sucks.
Nico or Nikki?
I think it's Nikki.
Doesn't
or
matter.
Nico. It's some. It's some. We don't care about him. He's in this fic. We didn't even include him in the notes.
Nico, Nikki.
Yeah. But she does have a husband. Yeah. And there is a moment where in the earlier scene in the catacombs, she mentions her husband and Villanelle goes, a husband. That's a shame.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 2.
Yep.
Villanelle's excited when Eve comes back the next week. But the day before, she was forced. We learned that she was forced into a room with a male vampire. And this is when, trigger warning, the non-con happens. They're like, hey, we want to see what happens if you guys do it. And Villanelle's like, no, I don't want to do that. And the males,
she moons the scientists. Says, fuck you, you dogs.
And they have, all the vampires have these chips implanted in them. And so they immediately get shocked. And so they're like, all right. We're going to have to.
So they like do it and she goes, I get to be on top. And he goes, fine. And they fuck.
And that's it. So we don't love that. But the next day, so she's a little like subdued. And then she sees Eve and she's like, okay. And Eve's like, I got you clothes. And she brings her like a plaid shirt and like plaid pants. And then also, which I don't understand. I don't get it.
I don't either.
Also a pantsuit.
Pantsuit.
Like a Burberry plaid?
It just said plaid.
Plaid pants. Plaid. Is she a Maxinista? Like, what are we?
I mean, if anyone's a Maxinista, it's Villanelle.
Oh, yeah.
It was so weird.
It's also odd. Like, Eve is portrayed as not having a great fashion sense in general. And she, like, pulled things from her closet.
Oh.
So I'm sure it was a thing of, like, this is the best I have.
These are my pajamas.
Here you go.
Yes.
Well, she tries them on. She's like, they fit me. And Eve's like, well, yeah, I have your sizes. And Villanelle's like, oh, you do.
I tailored my own clothes to fit you.
She goes, I want to wear the suit while you interview me, and like goes behind a thing and changes and then comes back out. And Eve is like, oh, she looks really good. Okay, interesting.
Oh, I can see her clavicle. That's nice.
Oh, yeah. She leaves the fic writer notes. She leaves the first three buttons unbuttoned.
Three.
She's getting a little sassy. Call
her what a slut.
I know. She's bored.
She's got a slutty chest out. Got a slutty clavicle. Eve starts asking her questions about her mortal life because she wasn't turned like eons ago. It was like, you know, years ago. And we learn that her mom sucked. Her dad was never around. We don't know what happened to her brother. So like her family life is meh. And she was turned by we learn that later. Delete. We learn that the center has stuck a microchip in V's body and that it shocks her. And Eve learns about this too. They flirt and Eve kind of is like, oh, this is kind of nice. Like, I don't like that they shock you, but you know, I'm going to advocate for you a little bit. I'm having a good time talking to you. And Villanelle's like, I'm not going to answer any more questions until you tell me about you. And he was like, oh, okay, my parents are divorced.
I have a husband.
That's real sexy banter.
Yes.
Yeah. And Villanelle's kind of like leaning forward and she's like, oh, and they're talking a little quieter. And there's like a glass wall. It's a Silence of the Lambs glass wall
with like little holes
in between, you know? Like, you know, like yay big. And they kind of like lean closer and Eve gets closer to the glass and then it's like, get back from the glass. And they're like, oh my gosh. And they get like all startled and Eve's like, oh, and she like straightens up and she's like, I'm going to go. And Villanelle's like, motherfucker, you know?
Villanelle says, next time I'll wear the suit again so you can see me in it.
She has this like pull on Eve that like she just always wants her to get closer to the glass and like smell her. It's all about that
pine soul, man.
Smell me.
So Eve goes home and her husband, Nico, whoever, is like, let's have a good night tonight. Let's make some dinner. And she's like, yeah, okay, fine. And he's like, you want to get busy? And she's like, yeah, okay, fine. And as they're starting to bang, she starts imagining like long blonde hair. She starts imagining the
collarbones,
soft skin, collarbones,
the scent of pines
underneath her. And I call this one, number one, she just popped in there. I don't know. In which she starts thinking all about Villanelle as she's having a bunch of sex with her husband.
And at the same time, we learn that Villanelle is just masturbating the fuck out of the night.
Thinking about Eve.
In the research facility.
Scientists are like, oh, there's an uptick in masturbation.
Yeah.
I think she like has a blanket on her and like turns around because she's like, I don't care if they see, but it's not for them. It's for me.
It's for me and Eve.
This is me time.
Yes.
Yeah. For Meve, if you will.
Oh, boo.
Boo yourself. I have the power here. Thanks, Big Red. Thank you. We learn that later on Eve comes back to Villanelle.
She's just exhausted because that's been the latest test to see like what her human power, like what her human strength is like if she takes away all the vampire abilities that she would normally have. Just kind of fucked up, if I do say so.
They make her do it like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, over and over and over again.
It's incredibly rude.
Yeah. Mm. And for what science could we possibly be doing this?
For human science.
Oh, okay. Never mind. You're right.
And so Eve comes the next day and she's like, why are you so tired? Blah, blah, blah. They talk about that. And we learn more about how Villanelle got turned. She asks about her being turned by Anna, her ex-girlfriend. And Villanelle's very kind of like, whatever about it. Like she says, you know, they broke up. They had a volatile relationship. And
like an on again, off again situation.
And they hooked up one night and she knew that Anna was a vampire. And they got into a fight and Anna tried to kill her and then she regretted it. So she bit her and then gave her the blood to turn her into a vampire.
Even though Villanelle did not want to be turned.
Yes.
It was against her will.
And dramatic. Then,
mm-hmm. And then Anna was so distraught that she offed herself.
Yes.
So now she's left alone in a new vampire body.
Anna, no.
Without her very scary ex-girlfriend that turned her. Yeah.
And isn't that always the way?
Yeah. I've been there.
We've all been there. Classic Wednesday. So as she's saying this, Eve gets really upset about this and Villanelle is talking and she ends up sticking her fingers through the glass holes, you know, through the thing. And the guard sees this and shocks her. And this is the first time Eve sees her get shocked. And she's like, you don't have to do that, blah, blah, blah. And the guard's like, it's my job.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm going to figure out how to, like, get them to stop doing this. Like, this isn't okay.
Yeah, this isn't humane. This isn't okay. And she also finds out that they're basically now starving Villanelle again to see what happens. Like, they're denying her blood as part of this medical experimentation.
Wait, Eve doesn't have any objection with her being trapped in this medical facility, but the starving and the shocking, that's the line.
Well, she didn't know what was going to happen in the medical facility.
She was just like, go anywhere. I guess that's her job.
Yeah, also she's like a serial killer. Like, Villanelle, like, killed a bunch.
Yeah, I guess, but she is pretty. So.
She's pretty, though.
It'd be like a vacation for her, you know? Right. Like, she's seen her get shocked, get not fed, get eaten. She's not eating. She's eating.
She's eating people. Yeah. She's eating.
Eating and not eating.
Yeah.
A classic Wednesday. Chapter 3. Eve is having a sex dream about Villanelle. It starts out like that. And I call that now number two. She's not even trying to get her out of that mind anymore. Like, she's just in there all the time.
She's done dying herself.
She's opened the door and propped it open.
Mm-hmm. Propped it open. And she's thinking about Villanelle fingering her and biting her neck. And it's a pain and pleasure. moment.
A very vampire-y, you know,
oh, yeah.
that usual flow.
Mm-hmm. And Eve wakes up to knocking at her door. She's all angry, and she opens the door to find Constantine.
There. Yes.
And this is a character in the show as well.
Yes. Constantine is kind of a, almost like a father figure to Villanelle. I would paint him in the show. Like, he's one of the people that works for the assassination network that she works for. And is kind of her handler, but like, they go way back and trust each other and are friends. And throughout the course of the series, he starts to kind of, realize how fucked up the situation is and try to escape it, essentially. So we love Constantine is one of my favorite.
We stan Constantine. Hey, can we hear for Constantine?
Hear for Constantine? Yeah. Constantine.
I got one more to go.
Yep, you're nearly there.
So Constantine shows up to Eve's door, waking her up from the sex dream, and he tells her that him and Villanelle used to work together. He was there when she was turned, and he had been keeping in touch with her, but was worried after he learned of her capture because he couldn't like figure out where she was. And then he finally tracked her down to London, like question mark,
mm-hmm.
And knew that Eve was the, you know, was
the one sending the postcards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Like, tracked her through the postcards.
Sure.
And Eve kind of knows that she probably shouldn't be talking about what's happening to Villanelle, but she can't help herself because she's reached a point where she is just so worried. And so she kind of tells him all the stuff that she's seen and how fucked up the situation is. And they basically decide, you know, let's try to figure out a way to like fix this situation together.
So in the meantime, Villanelle is taken to Dr. Carolyn, who is another character in the show. But
is Eve's boss in the
Eve's
show.
Boss, who is played by Fiona Shaw, who is Aunt Petunia in Harry Potter. Aww. Fun fact.
Yeah. Brilliant. I love Fiona Shaw. Fiona Shaw is like one of those actresses that like pops up, and every time I see her, I'm just happy because I know she's going to be good.
She's fantastic.
She's amazing.
One of our preeminent living Beckett performers.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
My goodness. And so she's a lead researcher who draws her blood, and she tells her,
tells Villanelle.
Villanelle. Yeah, sorry. It's to Villanelle. And she's like, what are you even doing to me? Like, when are you taking blood? What are you doing? And Dr. Carolyn's like, oh, I'm giving you malaria. You didn't know?
Oh.
To see what would happen. To see if you'll heal.
And so they injected her with it like a while ago. And they're like, yeah, the incubation period is like 7 to 30 days. And you seem to be doing great and blah, blah, blah. And Villanelle's like, holy shit. Like, I didn't really care what they were doing, but this is pretty fucked up. And, yeah. like, that's, we hear about that.
And Caroline's like, well, we'll use your blood to, like, have a better cure for people. Like, you're doing good. And Villanelle laughs in her face and basically is like, fuck you.
Which, mm-hmm. And yeah. She starts realizing she might never actually get out of this research facility. And she's very worried. And she thinks of Eve to calm her down.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, she's like having a panic attack and thinks about Eve's thick thighs and beautiful hair.
Wow.
She does have great hair.
She's beautiful.
She has gorgeous hair.
Gorgeous.
If you haven't seen it, look up Sandra Oh's hair, everybody. Or just Sandra Oh. I guess you don't have to look up her hair.
No. Yeah. Only her hair.
I only
Sandra Oh hair.
You see her face, it's not worth it. Just her hair.
Just her hair.
It's the next week. Eve is there for a visit, and the guard has stepped away for 10 minutes because his batteries aren't working and his walkie-talkie. Ooh, bee-boo-bop. And Villanelle asks Eve to come closer to the glass. And Eve is like, no, I can't.
And Villanelle pouts and goes, Evie, please,
I want to finger you through the glass.
Yes.
And so she can't resist that obvious reasons.
Yeah, and Eve is like, Villanelle, what do you want? And she's like, I love when you say my name. And asks if Eve is afraid of her. And Eve is like, not in the same way. You know, I don't feel like I'm prey to you anymore. And Eve says, I don't feel like prey you want to devour. And Villanelle says, well, there are other ways to devour a person.
Ooh la la.
And she starts to describe what she would do to Eve if they were on the outside of the glass.
A lot of smelling. Still a lot of sniffing.
We wrote it as a list here, and I like said it in a weird accent in my head. It was like, smell her, feel her, eat her, but not the bite her.
Not to bite her.
I was like Bartok from Anastasia. Smell
Dork, sir.
He's their sir.
Kicker.
And Villanelle's like, you know, vampires can smell fear and arousal. And Villanelle's like, I know, I could smell you right now. Because Eve is like, okay, this is really sexy.
I can smell you through the glass.
Yes. And Eve is so turned on and she presses up against the glass. And
wait, she presses up against the glass and there are just security guards.
The guard is gone. Remember, he had to go change his batteries.
Oh, right. People bought
batteries. Very conveniently. Had to change his battery.
I gotta run to CVS. Yes.
And they're both like kind of like pressed against the glass, and finally like Eve makes the move and like goes through the hole.
And they kiss each other through the hole.
Which, well, okay.
We both...
Sorry, I have to have the mic.
We both wrote down like, is that hot?
Also, this is... I call this number three. Wouldn't that hurt your lips? Because it's a glass... Guys, it's a glass wall with holes in it. How big... I thought the holes were like this big, yay big. Like the size of my palm, which to people at home, you don't know how big my hand is. But it's this big, you guys. And I was just like, I feel like that would... Also... Hold on. We're going to talk about this. I'm all up in arms.
Yes, please.
When the guard comes back, wouldn't there be a line around your face from pressing it up against a hole, a glassy hole?
I had not even... You're accidentally doing like a Kylie lip.
Yeah.
Like a lip plump situation. Yes. Yeah. It doesn't... I don't know. What do you think? It doesn't feel super hot to me, but I guess you got to take what you can.
I mean, depending on the size of the hole, which is something to live by.
I really think it was... I think it's like this, and I think also they make it French. So they not...
What? They tongue each other through the hole.
Like, that's got to be a palm size hole.
I don't know a photo of that. It's just, so that's been on my mind for
they
a week
make
now.
It French.
Yes, ever since we read it. They make it French.
They make it French.
Oh, yeah, you wrote that.
Oui, oui.
And Ville makes it French.
Ville makes it French. Eve says Constantine came to visit her. Villanelle gets happy. Eve is like, I'm going to go to the director because, like, I don't want to let you die in here. Like, this is inhumane that they're starving you. They're giving you malaria, blah, 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 blah. Boobop. And so that's when the guard comes back and she's like, all right, I gotta go. Talk to
we weren't
about.
Doing anything against yeah. the glass.
Meanwhile, she has a hole on her face. And spit. There must be spit.
Glass.
Like a makeup print.
Yeah. And every time you like, she sticks her fingers through there, she gets shocked. So wouldn't they? I just.
Well, the guard shocks her. The guard sees her stick her fingers through.
Not like a dog electric.
So it's not like an electric fence. Because that would be a whole other reason to not put your lips
put your
on
face
it.
Again.
Yeah. 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 But Eve does try. Eve, to her credit, does attempt to go to Dr. Carolyn and be like, this is really inhumane. This is not okay. But it does not go well, unsurprisingly. It does not work out. And Carolyn says, this is not a zoo. We're not here to take care of them. We're here to learn things.
Dr. Carolyn, you...
Yes.
Monster.
Awful. And Eve is like, where's your humanity? Like, these used to be human beings. Like, you should treat them well. And she just says like, I don't really care. This is what we do. And she's not willing to change anything.
And she's like, I'll forget this conversation happened because I talked to Constantine too. And we're like, what? Mm-hmm. So Constantine knows Dr. Carolyn went to her to be like, is Villanelle okay? Is she alive? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
That's like the extent of what we know about their like conversation.
In the show, they used to, because he was in Russia, she was the Russian like contact for MI6, and they have an affair, and it's really sweet. Actually,
lovers.
The show, it's actually kind of really cute.
The way you lovers
in Russia, and but after that conversation, basically, her Eve and Constantine talk, and they kind of realize Caroline is not gonna help us. We got to break our girl Villanelle out.
Mm-hmm. And while they're planning on, they're doing their whole thing to plan to break her out, Eve is realizing that over the next couple of days, she keeps lying to Nico. I think it's Nico. I wrote that
I
down
think
a
it's
lot.
Nico, yeah.
And that he's boring. That was like, wow, he's so boring. I guess I don't love him anymore. I was like, damn, Eve. Like, that's so, it's harsh.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for this guy.
Good for her.
Yeah. I mean, chase your happiness for sure.
Chase your happiness, but like not at the, I mean, be nice to someone who you decided to.
He's just a nice man.
He's nice.
Yuck.
Let him down gently at least. I don't know.
I don't trust it. I don't want to hear about it in my sex stories.
I don't like a cheater. But It's okay. Again, chase your happiness. Let women speak. Blah, blah, blah. She's there. She's there for her last visit with Villanelle because Dr. Carolyn is all pissed from the talk they had.
She's sure. She's like, you can't come back. You're going to do one more interview to wrap up whatever you were doing, and then we're done with this.
You can't come back just one more time.
Yeah.
Just one more.
This will be your last time to finish the profile. And Eve is like, we're going to break you out tonight. She's like, we got you. And Villanelle's like, this is crazy. And Eve's like, I don't want a boring life anymore. I want to be with you. I want to like do this. And I was like, okay. This is what I'm like. This is funny. Like, yeah. This is cool. But I'm like, poor Nico. Just don't mention him and then I feel better. Like, yeah. Just feel so bad for the guy. But, and she tells V the plan. And so it cuts to the next night. And it's at midnight. Eve and Constantine drive down the road. And they're like, we'll park here. Dig right through the fence. They run across the grass, find a ladder. They go up a ladder. And they go to a conveniently placed skylight. And they remove the glass. They cut the glass. I was thinking like a Great Muppet Caper. I was feeling like they're stealing the baseball diamond.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Hashtag Muppets forever. And they do this. He lowers her down on a rope, but the rope isn't like long enough and she has a syringe and blah, blah,
and they're
blah.
Basically lowering Eve down into the guard's station. Like, she's not being lowered directly into Villanelle's cell
because she's got to neutralize the guard.
It's close to the cell. Like, you can see the cell though because Villanelle watches all this happen.
Yes.
And she gets down, her boots like hit the ground, the guard's like what, and like looks up, and she has to like run and stab him in the neck with a syringe full of drugs. And
and I assume goes shh,
go to sleep my dark prince. Remember me. And Villanelle's like, nice. And so they like, she gets the key, she gets Villanelle out.
They both shimmy up the rope.
Yeah. But Villanelle is immediately like boom, 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 up. And Eve's like, damn, she's so strong. And she has to like take some time. And I think Villanelle actually like helps her up the rope. And Eve's like, that was nice. You know, I felt her skin. And
very of course, polite.
Yes, very polite. Yes. Very, very sweet.
Be polite.
And they can't like have the reunion that they want because they literally are doing a jailbreak right now. So they like get on the roof, and of course, a spotlight hits them. Because people have been alerted. And they run and bullets are flying and Eve gets shot and falls and Villanelle goes back to help her.
She gets shot a bunch of times.
She also gets
vampire.
Shot.
Vampire.
Yep. But she's bleeding out. She takes a lot more fire than Eve does because she's trying to like protect her.
Yeah, I think Eve just got like hit in the shoulder or something.
Yeah.
It's like not lethal.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
But
she's
Eve,
fine.
But Eve says, like, basically they kind of get to enough safety where they can tend to their wounds. And Eve goes, you need to drink from me to heal yourself. Because
you need
you're
to drink
weak.
From me.
You need to
heal yourself.
On my neck. I love it.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And I wrote,
my blood.
It's for your health.
I wrote down extended cake metaphor because Villanelle does drink from Eve, and there's a whole paragraph about how it tastes like cake but better.
That makes me think it's real thick.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got thick thighs, she's got thick blood.
Big blood, viscous.
Yeah, it reminds her of her mother's cake. Eve's blood tastes nothing like cake, of course. It's 10 times better. It's syrupy, salty, bittersweet. It's sex, sugar, magic over her tongue.
Syrupy.
I'm just thinking, go ahead, lick my syrupy blood.
Lick my syrupy blood.
Lick my syrupy blood.
Cake blood. Put your glassy
does
lips
it take like your mom's cake? Drink my mom cake blood.
Mommy, take my blood. No, I didn't like that.
No, mommy.
I have the power here.
We have the microphone.
So Eve passes out because Villanelle drank all her blood. Oh, not all of it. Most
I've
of it.
Never seen that happen in a vampire story ever where someone passes out and then
blood
because
loss.
Of the blood loss and then the vampire feels feelings about it. That certainly has never happened before, especially in Twilight.
We should shorten that and make it a trope and just put it in one of our episodes.
Vampires almost feeling feelings about
sad
almost
vampire.
Killing someone.
Aww.
Yeah.
Oops. Vampire
feelings.
And she wakes up in a safe house and there's an IV in her and that she learns that Villanelle procured it for her. Constantine is next to her bed and he explains everything, how they got there. They're somewhere in the I was about to say... fuck me. Where the fuck are they? It's where you're going with your mom, but it's not the holiday. Where is it?
The Cotswolds?
It's the Cotswolds. Yes. Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to the UK with my mom in a few weeks, and we're going to the Cotswolds, everyone, just so you know. It'll be really a delightful trip.
And she can do some great sightseeing.
Well, she thought the holiday was there, but the holiday
Yeah, my mom was really excited because she wanted to go to the Cotswolds. She was like, I want to see the cottage from the holiday. And I called my sister Sam, who's right there, and I went, does mom realize that the holiday takes place in Surrey? They try to go to the Cotswolds. They click on the picture. It's the shittiest, most broken down cabin you've ever seen. And then she clicks the link for Surrey. Should I tell our mother so she isn't asking everyone we see in the Cotswolds where the holiday cottage is? And Sam goes, you can tell her later. Wait until we get there tell and then break there. The news to her. Sure.
So Cotswolds, maybe. I might have made that up too.
But Villanelle has gone on a feelings walk because she's feeling a lot of feelings.
She's out in the. She's wanted.
She's wandering around the Cotswolds looking.
She's
for
got
food.
A chip in herself.
Oh no! She got the chip out.
She's freshly without a chip, and she's walking around by herself.
She's so fresh. But it was nighttime. Eve woke up during the day. And Constantine was like, she's sleeping somewhere else right now. She feels bad. She needs space. Yada, yada, yada. Constantine's like, I'm going to leave for a week because, like, we need to, like, get away from each other. You and Villanelle are going to be here all alone. And I'll come back. And you need to stay here for, like, a month. Mm-hmm. And you have enough food. You have enough water. Blah, blah, blah.
But you need to hide out.
Yeah.
Sure. Basically.
Villanelle comes home and things are kind of weird. She still clearly feels upset at biting her and not stopping in time. And that night, they say, Constantine's like, here are your burner phones, but you can't contact anyone. This is like in case
Did she leave a note for Nico?
So she's like, Nico is going to go to the police if I don't say something. So she like turns to Constantine. She's like, I need you to tell him somehow that like I left him for someone else. So he doesn't go to the police thinking I'm like being kidnapped.
I need you to break up with my husband for me. Can you do that, please? Like on your way out of town.
I need you to make him feel bad that I left him for someone else. Like, yeah. Just like, ugh.
I'm
efficient. Like, write a note yourself, bitch. And Villanelle asks Constantine about Dasha. He says he led her to believe that Villanelle was in a research facility in Berlin. And Villanelle's like, okay, cool.
Because Dasha's her old partner, and Villanelle's like, oh, she's going to try to find me. Like, she's going to want to work together again and doesn't want her to find find her.
And so Villanelle's like, all right, I'm going to go for a walk. And Eve's like, I'll come. And she's like, no, I need time.
And he's like, we'll talk tomorrow night about all of this stuff. And she basically, we learn the next day that when they're talking that she's like, we really need to stay away from each other. I don't know if I can control myself because your blood just smells so good.
Oh. She's like, after things blow over, we'll go our separate ways.
Yeah. Sure. Do we think that that is what happens?
No.
Yes.
This is a smart audience.
And Villanelle talks more about her feelings. And she's like, I just don't want to be like Anna, her ex-girlfriend who turned her without her consent.
Right. Yep.
They're talking. Eve is comforting her. And she's like, you stopped. Like, you're a good person. And she's about to say, like, I want to be with you. And Villanelle instead is like, I want to be with you before Eve can say anything. And they're both like, what?
Oh.
And they're like on the couch or something. And then they do all the kisses and Eve initiates it. And I call this one number 4, Safe House Sexy Times. And there's some fun banter while they're like kissing and making out. And they're like, God, you're so fucking beautiful. Like, hardcore kiss.
And Villanelle says, I know, but thank you for acknowledging it.
Wow.
Oh, I love her. She's so hot, you guys. She's so hot.
There's like a bite, like a lot of lip biting, but like not bloody lip biting.
Sure.
She says, you have thick thighs. I love thick thighs. Perfect.
Great.
Villanelle fingers Eve and then eats her out. And Eve is having the best time. And
Who wouldn't?
Right? And this is like for her first time with a lady.
She's never been with a lady. So she's just figuring it out as she goes along. We respect it.
And she's like, hey, can you bite me again? And Villanelle's like, are you sure? And she's like, yes, do it. And so she bites her boob, which I was like, I don't know if I like that.
I feel like there's not a ton of blood in the boob.
Yeah, it'd be just be fatty. Yeah.
Fatty also and like fatty? Capillary.
Yeah.
Also, where on the boob are we talking? Like, is your mouth full?
She just chomped a nipple.
Or like, which way were you facing? Were you facing up? Were you facing to the side? Was it just like right here? You know, I have some
You had
questions,
some logistical some questions.
Follow-up questions.
So if you're a vampire that's bitten a boob,
but
let
a boob
me know.
Did get chomped.
And Boob got chomped.
And Eve was happy about it.
Eve touches her while that's happening. They keep touching each other. They both come, which I was like, great for your first time. Love that.
Yeah.
You know? And Eve is like, see, I knew I could trust you. Like, you bit me and you had some blood and I'm fine. And we had sex and it was great.
Yeah.
Eve is like, I think everyone's wrong about you, Villanelle. You know, like, you're not a cold-blooded killer. And Vill is like, yeah, but I don't really care when I kill people. Like, I have
so no- she is a cold blooder.
Yeah.
And I was that's like, exactly yeah. What a she's like, thank you for is. Saying that. But yeah. No, I am, though. I am.
And Eve is like, well, when I've shot people, I guess I don't really care about them either. So we're both monsters. And she's like, yes, great. And then they're like, let's go snuggle. And I'm like, what? What a random, like, it was very odd.
They
but
find I comfort. Love it.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a very small support group.
I liked it. It was just odd because then they immediately are like, let's keep going. Let's go to the bedroom now because they were like on the couch. And I was like, what a strange interlude. I feel like that should have come.
They
right
had
before.
To agree that they were equally fucked up so then they could keep having going. Sex.
And have more fucked up sex.
Yeah, yeah. That's very fair. They communication bang. Is very key to fucked up
we
sex.
We love good communication.
Yes.
Mm. We love fucked up sex. Legitimately, on this podcast, we do. They bang again and Eve takes charge and she goes down on V for her first time ever. And Villanelle's like, you're doing a great job. And I call that one.
That's positive encouragement.
I know. Yeah. That one's called number 5. What a quick learner.
It's very like, you're so beautiful. You're doing so great. I'm so proud of you. Like very soft, sweet vampire.
Which made me go, yuck.
I'm so sorry you're straight.
Don't tell me I'm pretty. my boyfriend's in the audience. They fall asleep in each other's arms. They wake
yeah.
up. That is nice. I like that. That's cute.
Okay.
Feelings cool. are gross. They wake up together and they're at it again. And Villanelle eats out Eve. Eve asks her to bite her again.
To bite her thigh, which makes a lot more sense to me.
I agree because I've seen that on True Blood. So I know that's what vampires do in real life.
The documentary True Blood.
I know.
It makes total so sense, though. So it's like, okay, you're already down there. You're already eating out your girlfriend.
The femoral arteries just right there.
Turn the head.
You gotta be careful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. It was risky, but they did it, and it was sure. fine.
I forgot. Oh, you wrote the quote, so close to her pussy that Villanelle's cheek rubs against her outer fold.
Quote.
That's a quote. And then I called this one number 6. Gotta get that femoral artery bite in. So I...
Do you like,
do you
like
some reason the cheek and the fold?
The fold,
just those two words together.
Fold is a really sexy way to describe things.
Oh, actually, I think putting outer in front of it is even sexier.
Outer fold.
My outer fold. Like,
I love it when you
get this outer fold.
When your cheek is near my outer fold, I just
I get flutters in my tummy. You know. Fold flutters. They cook and they hang out.
They basically start having a lovely domestic safe house yeah. life together.
Sure. Bunch of sex, bunch of hanging out.
Local produce.
Yep. Farmer's market. We adopt a cat, probably. It's fine.
Join the co-op.
They decide to go for a walk one night. They find a pond and they're like, let's skinny dip. And they do. And they just keep banging everywhere in the pond and out of the pond. And Vill goes off for a hunt one night, leaving Eve at home reading a book. And suddenly, someone rings the doorbell. And Eve is alone, and she very quietly like kind of goes up and looks like out the window. And she sees an older woman in her 60s wearing a beige blouse with flashy leopard gold pants and leopard like mules.
Which is how she dresses in the show.
Yeah.
She has these incredible like 80s aerobics outfits that she wears.
Yeah.
We find out that it is Dasha.
Oh, yeah, it's Dasha.
It's Dasha. Who in the show is played by another amazing actress who she was in Succession as the mom. If you know who that is, she's been in a lot of things and she's just brilliant in all of them.
Yep.
Yeah. So Eve is freaked out by that, turns off the light, like steps back, is like, oh shit, we've been found. Mm-hmm. And they kind of had an idea that this might happen, but they were just kind of hoping it wouldn't happen. But Dasha gets in through the back of the safe house, which feels like a security flaw to me.
Well, before she can go, because Villanelle like went out. So like through the back door, probably, I would assume. So
yeah.
She couldn't like get there fast enough to lock it because vampire speed.
But also, you're in a safe
lock
house.
It lock already. This is an
MI6H. The Cotswolds, maybe.
This is a high security cottage. It's and you have to lock the door.
You got burner flip phones. I don't know how high security it is. Eve gets all pissed because she's like, what the fuck are you doing in here? Like, get out of here.
Yeah, because Dasha's like, I'm here to reclaim Villanelle. I'm here to take her back with me. And Eve's like, excuse me.
She's her own person.
She's her own person. Exactly. And also, I have claimed her.
Yes.
We have claimed each other.
Also, she's mine.
She's mine. She got really close to my fold earlier this week.
The outer one, if you had any questions about it.
Yes.
Villanelle comes home from hunting, and Eve sees her trying not to, like, sneer when she's like, Dasha, you know? I guess it's more like, Dasha, you know? She's mm-hmm. holding it in. And Dasha's like, okay, you're here. Let's go. And Villanelle's like, no, I'm with Eve now. Like, this is my lady. I'm claimed by her. Dasha gets pissed. And she grabs Eve and she's like, okay, I'll just kill her. And so then we can go together. Like, yeah, I don't know.
I'll just get rid of this.
What's so wrong with this?
Yeah. You know?
And
Eve does a stomp down on Dasha's foot.
Is Dasha a vampire?
Yes. Dasha is the vampire partner that was with
Villanelle
the whole time. She's the one that clued her in that Eve was following her the first time.
Mm-hmm.
She's like a 60-year-old Russian vampire lady.
Yes. Sure. Yes. And so after Eve kind of smashes the foot, jumps out of the way, we then get a vampire fight. So we get Villanelle and Dasha having it out, breaking all the furniture in this lovely Cotswolds cabin safe house.
Oh, no, not the china.
Yes. And not the high security china. And meanwhile, Eve's like, okay, I need something wood. She sees like a wood spoon and she tries to like break it over her thigh. And she's like, can't do that. Like hits it in a door, kind of makes it like as a stake. And she's like, okay. And she looks up and they're just like everywhere fighting, like all over stuff. And she's like, I don't know what to do. I can't.
But is it the tree that the vampires are allergic to?
So this spoon, I don't know.
I don't know. No, I was just like, I guess all wood, maybe. Maybe that was a very special steak that would like extra.
That only the hunters had.
Yeah.
But I guess any wood works.
Yeah. Or maybe they're just, maybe it's a new production line.
In a pinch. Yeah. The fanfic writer.
Store-bought is fine.
The fanfic writer did not explain, unfortunately. Yeah.
Please call us fanfic writer.
She does toss this spoon to Villanelle, who catches it out of midair and stakes Dasha in the heart.
Mm.
And so that's the end of fucking Dasha. Yep. Can we get a round of applause for the end of Dasha?
Wonderful. I still have one more. That wasn't your last one.
That was for me.
They go and bury her outside. They clean up the living room. And Villanelle's like, well, at least she didn't break the fucking TV like that fucking bitch. And like that's how they're like, aww. And they like hug each other.
We can still watch Barefoot Contessa.
It's a very sitcom moment, I'd say.
They're both covered in dirt. Aww. They just buried a body in the backyard. And they're like, you want to watch TV now?
So after this, Eve goes to sleep and Villanelle goes on a walk. Another feelings walk because she thinks she doesn't deserve Eve. She's like, I'm such a bad person. Like, I shouldn't be with her. I should just go my separate way.
You shouldn't be with this perfect, very bad agent.
Very terrible at her job.
Very bad at her job, agent.
She brought all this horribleness in, and she doesn't believe Eve is actually going to choose her when the time comes, when they can finally leave the safe house.
Mm-hmm. And Constantine calls and says, hey, I'm on my way, which means that they got to talk because they got to figure out what they're going to do. Eve says, oh, yeah, well, I need to go to London to like grab some stuff, but then we should absolutely leave together. And Villanelle is just doesn't initially believe her. It's like, oh, well, you need to go back to London to be with your husband. And she's like, no. I just need to get like some jeans.
Medicine. And my eye drops.
Needs to get my Lexapro and my passport.
Yeah. And then we're out. Yeah. And Villanelle like breaks down crying and is like, I didn't think anyone would ever choose me. And Eve says, I'm choosing you. Is that okay? And Villanelle like nods and like keeps crying into her neck. And then she goes, your hair is so amazing.
So pretty.
She chokes that out and earns her a laugh. So gay.
Pretty gay.
One of the best parts of dating women is how beautiful, you know, the hair is. You can just stroke it and pet it. It's nice.
Just pet him like a horse.
Like a horse. Emily, have you ever pet a lady's hair like a horse?
No, I have not. I don't think
like this.
Because you know what? I don't like it when people touch my hair usually, so I try not to touch other people's hair.
Noted, noted. But, fuck you with you by touching your hair.
Well, you know, when I was growing up, everyone would like always grab the curls and try and blind them. And okay. I was like, don't fucking get your oily fingers all over my oily curls.
I don't want to trigger it's your trauma, so I guess I won't.
It's touch too late.
People did that to me too, but I love attention.
Yeah. I have recently discovered I do like some head scratches.
There you go.
Like it's like from the back of the neck up.
Yeah.
That's a nice, it kind of puts me to
sleep. I'm so happy about you and your growth. That's great.
You know.
Look at you.
32 and thriving.
Anyway, so that very gay moment happens. Eve has beautiful hair and we all love that. And they basically, Constantine shows up and goes, well,
this is a whole info dump right here, but yes. This is the end, so get ready.
And Constantine goes, well, there's groups of wealthy vampires who are organizing together and trying to take down these research centers. And they're based out of Vienna. So do you want to do that? And they go, yeah. And then 6 months later, we're in Venice. And
wrong place.
Well, they went to Vienna first. They hooked up with the wealthy vamps. They were like, we got you, we're in.
Yes.
Now they're in Venice. Eve and Vil are stalking and take down Helene.
And so the last thing that they do is they murder someone together, and it's really romantic. Aww. It's really sweet.
They crack and open Eve, a guy together.
Yeah. And Eve is like, let's go. They murder someone. They go, let's go do a gondola ride. And so they hold hands and walk away, and Eve feels alive.
Aww.
And then there's a sequel where they just murder a bunch of people.
Delightful.
Yeah.
And so that's the fic.
That's the story. Yay!
Did you like the fic?
I loved the fic.
What'd you think?
I think it was a good fic. I like all the improbable kissing through a hole, particularly.
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Don't you clap for that. Still mad about that.
I like that Eve just like fully blew up her life. Like she didn't wear a mask just in case she needs to go back to MI6.
I know.
She was over it.
She was done. Really done. She was like, fuck this job, fuck this husband.
Yeah.
Yes. Fuck this woman.
Now she only goes out at night, so she doesn't need a mask because like cameras don't work at night. So
sure.
That's like how that works.
Sure.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, is it?
Probably.
It is now.
In Vampire World, yeah.
Out of 5 raccoons in trash cans, because we are just 2 raccoons talking about the best trash in town. How would you rate this fic in comparison to the research on sapphic vampires in comparison to how much you liked it and liked us?
5.
No explanation.
5.
Thank you.
A trash can filled to the brim with raccoons.
Did you have a good time with the fic, though? Because you were worried about that at the front.
I was. And I had a lovely time, a delightful time. I should never have downed it.
Thank you. So cute.
We thought that a good way to close this out was to play a quick game.
Sure.
If you don't mind sticking around for another 10-ish minutes.
Yeah, you guys ready for a game?
Yay! We do a game? Okay. So we have here cards with famous vampires. We're going to do a bracket style who would you fuck to decide who is the winner, who is the sexiest,
most fuckable vampire
of these 12 vampires that we have pulled out of the
gotcha
ether. And we will probably be asking for some audience input.
Yeah, we need someone to hold up these cards. So does anyone want to like get up here and hold? Oh, we immediately won. Come on up here, Sammy.
Come on, Sam.
Sister of the podcast, Sammy Mole, everybody. I wrote down a whole bracket system. It does look like DNA, but I'm excited. So we're going to
do
this.
Drawing that cool S.
Yeah. Okay. Sonic the Hedgehog. Yeah.
Close your eyes.
Do I pick one or two?
Pick two.
We're going to do this scientifically. Science reasons.
Okay.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, you want to read off that one?
Okay, this one is...
It's a long name.
Santanico Pandemonium.
Yes.
From Dusk Till Dawn, 1996, Salma Hayek.
No, that's... Oh, yeah, that is Salma Hayek.
So okay. Salma Hayek in From Dusk Till Dawn, where she has the like bikini and the snake, and it's a whole thing. And then the Count from Sesame Street. So, Sam, if you would like to just show these to the people so we can have a visual aid.
So this is going to be hard. This is really like, who would you, the most fuckable vampire?
The most fuckable between these two. It's a tough choice.
Because Selma Hayek looks great, but the Count can count.
He can count.
So So
he counts the spiders on the wall. He counts the something in the hall. He's a Muppet, so he can take a whole hand.
Yes,
I was about to say, he has a hand in him at all times. He knows what he's doing.
And I haven't seen From Dusk Till Dawn in 15 years, so we're going with the Muppet.
Yeah.
All right.
What a beautiful day for Muppet.
So we have Muppet is our winner. I'm so sorry, Selma Hayek. You are very hot in that movie.
Very hot.
All right, close your eyes again.
Beautiful.
Okay. All right. We have classics. We have Gary Oldman as Dracula in Dracula, Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yes. Specifically the Gary Oldman one, though.
Specifically yes. That one. And then we have Lestat from Interview with a Vampire. And we did go with the Tom Cruise version because I feel like that's the one most people know.
I prefer the fresh Lestat, the new Lestat.
The new Lestat is good.
Yeah, yes. He's a wonderful Lestat. I'm going to go with Lestat because Gary Oldman kind of sucks.
Wait, like as a person or in
as a person?
Okay. Oh. Fun fact, haven't seen either of the. Actually, no, I did see Interview with a Vampire. I remember Tom Cruise really upsetting me.
You haven't seen the Dracula with Gary Oldman?
Oh, it's like so Winona good.
Well, we got to have a movie night soon.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So we're going Lestat. We're going.
Does everyone feel like Lestat's a good choice?
Because Tom Cruise in his personal life is way better than Gary.
He's way better. There's nothing weird about Tom Cruise.
Way less problematic.
Well, we know that he can jump on a couch, so he can jump anywhere.
Oh, he's got big ups.
He's got big. Yeah. He's active.
He's got a strong vert.
He's got a strong vert.
Okay. Oh, okay. Lady the Countess from American Horror Story Hotel, Lady Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Nadja from What We Do in the Shadows.
Two strong contenders, yeah. if I must say so myself.
I'm going to pick Nadja because Hotel kind of...
Yeah. Yeah.
Hotel kind of went off the rails.
Also, yeah, I love when she sings that song with Laszlo.
It's which like, one?
Who's going to come first on their wedding night?
I think Nandor might.
So good. So good. Okay, so we have our first three, like, in the second bracket, but now we have the sixth. I don't know how brackets work, so I'm just... don't worry. We're going to post this on our Instagram.
Ooh.
Okay.
We have Celine from Underworld.
Which was a big deal for
my
me.
My mom loves that movie.
Oh, Celine.
But then we have Queen Akasha from Queen of the Damned, Aaliyah. She's going to win.
Yeah. What? Not Celine and Aaliyah all the leather?
Aaliyah wins. So.
Look at Celine. She fights. She's got guns.
She is the decider.
This is my show. But fine, fucking Aaliyah. Also, yeah, like she's pretty hot, so I get that. Okay. I have to put up a fight for some things, for what I stand for.
Okay, okay.
Oh,
okay.
No.
We've got the girls. We've got Alice V. Bella. I mean, yes, Alice V. Bella.
Alice Cullen, V. Bella, Swan Cullen.
Here's the thing with Alice.
Thank you for putting her name, full name in there.
Well, she's not a vampire until she's a Cullen, so.
That's true. Yep.
Give it to Sam to show the people.
I think they know, but yeah.
They need to see.
Alice is too whimsical.
Oh.
I have to be the more whimsical one in the relationship.
But she can see the future, so she can tell you.
I don't want to know the future. I want to know the future.
So we're going with depression.
We're going with Bella.
Sad Bella.
Bella.
Okay.
Bella.
Our last two. Two very... No, you're good.
Well, I don't just, have to. Yeah. Have to. Oh, Blade.
Two very moody men.
We've got Blade from Blade, 1998. And...
Thank you.
Spike. The thing with Spike is that he's just so much better than Angel.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
I'm going to go. I'm going to go. I'm
what? Gonna... You're an Angel girl?
I've always been an Angel girl. OTP. Angel and Bob. You can go to hell.
He had such better chemistry with Buffy.
Yes, he did.
No, Spike was... No. I can't tell you why, but no.
All right. Well, this is my... I'm Blaine.
Okay. Wait, did we pick Spike? Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, yes, of course we picked Spike because he's better than Angel.
I actually had Angel on the list, too, and then
we... took him off.
Yeah. It's a collaborative show.
All right.
All right, so we have the Count versus Aaliyah. Queen
it's
of the
it's the Count. He's been with me for 33 years.
So the Count beats Aaliyah as most fuckable?
First of all, it's not always about looks. Sometimes, someone, and he's kind of, you know, like ugly hot guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The count.
Yeah. The count is ugly hot. Right.
And again, he can take a full hand.
He can take a full hand.
Okay. I'm so sorry, Aaliyah. I thought you would make it further.
Okay. Next, okay, one. Next one. Lestat versus Nadja.
Okay. Nadja.
Nadja, right? Nadja. Like, yeah, it's gotta be.
Lestat is kind of a big whiny baby.
Agreed.
And then Nadja.
And then Bella versus Spike.
Ooh. Bella.
What? Well, okay.
Okay.
Because Bella's Kristen Stewart.
Yes. And she's Kristen Stewart doing promo for her latest movie is a oh my gosh.
She dangling from that pull-up bar.
The whole mood. Okay, so we're down to
three.
Nadja,
we're down to the three hottest.
The count. Like,
did I do this bracket wrong? How are there three? The fuck? I did even numbers. How did this happen?
It's fine.
You know, okay, it's Nadja versus Bella, and then whoever wins goes off against the count.
Yeah, because you clearly really like the count. So Bella like count. Versus Nadja.
Nadja.
All right.
Wow. Okay. So guys, this is a real close one. Both have puppets somehow with them.
That's true.
Yes, they do.
Nadja with little doll Nadja.
She's got hair doll.
And the count. One has purple skin. One is a human woman. A vampire. And one has the pipes of an angel.
One can take a whole hand. One we probably...
Both probably can take a whole hand.
Both have fun accents.
I'm going with Nadja.
Yay! Thank you. Thank you for your help. So we have Nadja as the official hottest vampire ever, which I think is a very fair...
I think so, too.
Yes.
We know who's going to come first tonight.
Oh, yes.
And it's Nadja. That's right. Oh, my gosh.
The count has something to do with it.
You be quiet back there. Okay. Well, thanks for playing this game.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Thanks for making up this game.
Yeah. Let's give you one more plug for A Long Time Dead.
Yes.
Sapphic. Vampire, gothic, romance.
Victorian.
Where can the masses buy this book?
Everywhere books are sold.
And where can they follow you to find more about your writing exploits and whatnot?
Well, my Instagram is at YesJBrieg. Twitter is at Samara J. Brieger because I don't have any continuity. And my website is SamaraBrieger.com.
Woo! Okay, please go like and follow and subscribe to all her stuff. Please like and follow and subscribe our podcast if you liked it.
Yeah. We're Femmes Reading Filth on everything.
On everything, every platform.
Yes.
Even Zanga. Do you remember Zanga?
I had a Zanga.
I had a Zanga too. Fine, MySpace, I guess. Sorry. Y'all don't know Zanga. Didn't go out on a whim there. Hey, thanks for coming.
Thank you for coming.
We're just two raccoons
talking about
the best trash in town.
Thank you.
Thank you. You can go now.
Femmes Reading Filth is hosted, produced, and edited by Emily Berusian and Jessica Mall. Intro music by Tom Lehrer. Outro music by David Reddick. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Femmes Reading Filth. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.